lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's stable land. By your grace then I have found, Lord, let my feet on higher ground.
It's a good life. Coming to you from Central Baptist Church, located at 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
There are many different attitudes today about the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. For those of us who have trusted Him as Savior, we know and believe that He came the first time, and we know that He was born of a virgin, and of course we celebrate Christmas. That reminds us of His birth. Then we celebrate Easter. This is the celebration because that's when our Lord rose from the dead after His crucifixion. We believe in the first coming of the Lord, but there are others who do not believe that. There are some who do not believe He came the first time. Those people who do not believe He came the first time, well, they need to get saved. They need to receive Jesus Christ as Savior. They need to realize He did come the first time. Well, you know, there are many attitudes today about the second coming of our Lord. Not only the first coming, but there's many attitudes about His second coming. And today, as we look into this, we want to look at a few scriptures. In Titus chapter 2, verses 11 through 15, the Bible says this, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us, that He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto Himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee." You and I, as Christians, are to proclaim that Jesus Christ not only came the first time, but He is coming the second time. And we keep reading in the Word of God and go to 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, and we read there where it says, "But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of." Well, there are many today who speak evil. They deny the Lord. They deny that He ever came. And they also deny, even those who say He did come the first time, they deny that He's coming the second time. Well, we look further in 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 through 5, and the first part of verse 5. It says, "This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts, and saying, Where is the promise of His coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of." That's the first part of verse 5. In other words, they're ignorant of the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. We read the first part of verse 5. Once again, I believe the verses we just read in 2 Peter, I believe there are some people who do not believe even in the first coming of the Lord, and then I believe that verse is also teaching that there are people who scoff at the second coming, at the prophecy of His second coming. Well, there are many who say they believe the Lord is coming, but according to the teaching of the Bible, there are very few who are looking for his return. I believe we see that more and more in our day that we live now. The evidence is all around us. I believe those who are looking for the Lord are constantly attending a local church. I believe they are faithful to the Lord in church attendance. I believe that God has ordained the local church where we gather together to worship him, to get empowered from the Word of God. Now, we read the Word of God, and I pray that you read the Word of God, even at home, and wherever you are, that you read the Word of God, in church or at home, wherever you're at, wherever you have the Bible with you. And I suggest that you keep a Bible with you. You need to go to a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching local church where the Word of God is preached, where you can grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. Those who are looking for the Lord are constant attenders at his house. I believe this. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 25. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. The day, the coming of the Lord is what it's talking about. And then we see that one thing that will solve slackness in attendance in local churches is to get every church member looking for the return of the Lord. The one thing that will solve the financial condition of the local church is to get all members looking for the return of the Lord. Now, we meet Christians all the time. I speak with Christians, and they say they're having a lot of problems. And I ask them, well, what church do you go to? Most of the time they'll say, well, I don't attend one regularly. I just go here and there and everywhere. Well, my advice to those people who say that is to get into a good Bible-believing, Bible-teaching local church and stay there and hear the Word of God. There are many churches today who are in financial need, and my advice there is to start teaching and preaching that Jesus is coming again. When we get that in our minds and in our hearts, things will change in our lives as Christians. Well, I believe those who are looking for the Lord will also take part in the worship of the church. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 through 26. He says, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. And after the same manner also he took the cup, when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye, as oft as ye drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come." We need to worship the Lord, and the one way we do that is by having communion or taking the Lord's Supper in our local church. And as often as we do that, the Bible says there in 1 Corinthians 13, as often as we do that, we're remembering the Lord. We're showing his death until he comes. And he is coming again. Now, there are many people who do not partake of the Lord's Supper in a local church. They think that staying home and drinking a little bit of juice and eating a little wafer or whatever is the same thing. It's not. Remember, the Lord gathered together with his apostles in that upper room, and he set the stage for the local church to receive the supper in remembrance of him. Now, let me quickly add that some people are not able to come to the local church, members of that local church. Some are not able to come. There's nothing wrong with someone who is going into that home, a preacher, a pastor from that local church, going into the home of that person who cannot partake of the Lord's Supper at church. Nothing wrong with observing the Lord's Supper right there, because it is the Lord's Supper. And I remind you, it is really not the church's supper, it is the Lord's. And this should be done in accordance under the supervision of course, the local church, making sure that the Word of God is taught as the observance of the communion is taking place, and so people would understand what communion is all about. Now, we keep reading, and we keep studying the Word of God, And we understand that those who are looking for the Lord will hold fast to the truth, according to the Bible. Revelation chapter 2 and verse 25 says this, "But that which ye have already, hold fast till I come." Before the devil can make a modernist out of anyone, he must first destroy the fact of the second coming. In other words, don't worry about Jesus coming back, he would say. He'll tell people, but he's not coming. We've read the verse where it says there'll be scoffers. They'll say, "Where is the promise of his coming? It's been so long." Well, I've got news for you. It's been a long time, and we see that, and people get anxious, but the Lord is not hindered or hampered by time. He's coming back when he's ready. Just as he came at the proper time in his first coming, he's coming back at the proper time in his second coming. And false cults question or deny the second coming, or part of it in one way or another, or some people even tell you the second coming has already happened, or they start naming dates. One man who has passed away not too long ago had set about 4 or 5 dates, and Jesus did not come back, and now this man's gone. I pray that the man went to heaven. I don't know his heart, but I pray and want you to understand that no man knows the day or the hour when Jesus is coming back. Those who are looking for the Lord will take advantage of every opportunity to witness for him. Paul the Apostle did. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 8 and 9, we read about Paul, and all through the Scriptures, the Pauline epistles and the books that Paul wrote in the Word of God under the inspiration of God, he witnessed for the Lord no matter where he was. Where he was. Chained up to the guards, he still witnessed for the Lord. And I believe that those people who are looking for the Lord are not unduly disturbed by world conditions. They keep serving God. In Luke chapter 21, verse 28, it says, "And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up, lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh." That makes me joyful, knowing that Jesus is coming back. And when we see the world conditions, and this world is in terrible shape, when we see it getting worse and worse, we need to lift up our heads, because we're closer to the coming of the Lord than at any other time in history. Well, my attitude is a biblical one concerning the second coming. I believe the Bible when it says that I will be with the Lord when he returns. Revelation chapter 19 and verse 14 says, "And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean." You say, how's that going to be? Well, once again, Paul the Apostle tells us this in 1 Thessalonians 4:14. He says, "For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him." And then in 1 Thessalonians 4:17 it says this, "Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord." As a saved person, I look to the things of the world that are happening right now pointing to the second coming of Jesus, and I rejoice because I know that before that happens, before he comes the second time, I'm going to go with him in the rapture of the church. He's coming after me. The Bible says that we'll be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. I wonder today, are you looking for Jesus? Have you found him? Jesus Christ says, "I want you. I want you to receive me as your Savior." And I think of that old hymn, "Just as I am, without one plea." Without one plea, we need to come. You need to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. "The blood that was shed for me," you should say, "and that thou biddest me come to thee," the song says. You need to plead the blood of Christ. Receive him as your Lord and Savior.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.